Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "And blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. First off, what I'd like to do is just look at this Gospel here and tie it into the first reading, and then speak a little bit some of the words of our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, in Madrid, Spain, for World Youth Day, and the value it is of having the faith as our foundation. Now, this particular Gospel, Matthew chapter 16, is something that we use in what's called Catholic apologetics in defending our faith, where we say that Peter and his successor speaks with the voice and the power of Christ and has the power to bind and to loose. Because right here, our Lord Jesus asked the apostles, "Who do you say I am?" And the one person is inspired by the Holy Spirit who steps forth. It's Peter, and he recognizes who Christ is. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Even though Peter at this point recognizes who Christ is, his faith still at times is weak. It's not firm yet. As we see later on, he falls flat on his face when he's professing who Jesus is when people ask him. But so our Lord says, "You are Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church." He doesn't say churches. Church. There's one church, one holy Roman Catholic church. Catholic means universal. And then it says, "I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom." Notice that's a key phrase here. That's why the Holy Mother Church has, our church has Isaiah chapter 22 as the first reading, where Eliakim receives the keys of David, the keys of the kingdom. "I will place the key of the house of David on Eliakim's shoulder. When he opens, no one shall shut. When he shuts, no one shall open." So then our Lord uses those similar words. "I give you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, you shall be loosed in heaven." In other words, you speak and you act in my authority. You are the visible head of the church. Christ is the head of the church, but the one that's visible is the Pope. And today, Peter is Pope Benedict XVI. Now, our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI in Madrid, Spain, these last couple days. He's there today, he'll be offering Mass, and then he'll be going back, I believe, back to Rome. And the message for World Youth Day, and you know, these World Youth Days are every 3 years. Pope John Paul II started this in 1985. And depending on what part of the world it's at, you get anywhere from 800,000 people, like in Toronto, to like a million people expected at the Mass today in Madrid, Spain. But there's a message for each World Youth Day. And this year's message for World Youth Day is, quote, "Planted and built up in Jesus Christ, firm in the faith." It's Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. So it's planted and built up in Jesus Christ, firm in the faith. So Peter here in this Gospel, he's planted, he's being built up in Jesus Christ, but he is not yet firm. Because right after this, he tries to take the Lord away from suffering. When the pressure is put on, when Jesus is about to be crucified, Peter denies him. Now, all of us, we have the faith. That's why we're here in church here today. But it's something that has to be built up to grow firm. And the Holy Father has many, many words of wisdom to the youth who've been in Spain this past week. And I'm going to share just a couple of snippets, okay? So when our Holy Father is speaking to the youth, he's actually speaking to all of us here, all of God's children throughout the world. He said, "It's always a good thing to keep seeking." Because a lot of the young people, you're trying to find your way in life. What's the meaning of life? What's true? What's not? He said, "Above all, seek the truth." Capital T. Because truth never changes. Truth is not an idea or an ideology or a slogan, but a person. Christ. God Himself, who has come into our midst. You rightly wish to plant your faith in Him, to ground your life in Christ. He has always loved you, and He knows you better than you know yourself. The Holy Father says, of course, you know that when we do not walk besides Christ, our guide, we get lost on the path. So we're on a path, our particular path or vocation of life, and hopefully if we're on the right path, that path will lead to heaven. So he said, but if Christ is not our guide, we will get lost. The path then that we'll get lost on is the path of blind and selfish impulses, the path of flattering but self-serving suggestions. He says, all this will do to you is leave you empty and frustrated. And he goes on, if you build on solid rock, not only your life will be solid and stable, but you will also help project the life of Christ in your age, with your peers, and what God sends you. To all those who are content, so this is, now here's the challenge to the young people. He says, now for all those of you who are content to follow the fashionable ideas that take shelter in the here and now, forgetting true justice, you know, forgetting eternity, or take refuge in their own opinions instead of seeking the truth, what you're doing is creating your own God. And then you believe that there's no roots, no foundations. They take it upon themselves then to decide what is true, what is good, what is evil, what is just, and what is unjust, who can be sacrificed in the interest of personal preference, leaving each step to chance with no clear path. So he was challenging the young people. You must seek Christ. He's the answer to all your questions. He's the answer to all your longings. So he says, dear friends, be prudent and wise. Build your lives upon the firm foundation which is Christ. The wisdom and prudence will guide your steps. Nothing will make you fear, and peace will then reign in your hearts. Now, these are just little excerpts I'm sharing here and there, because the Holy Father says, and just one more thing, he says, today, many parts of the world, there's been an eclipse of God. With what? With self. Now, if we're living the faith, it gives us such a great interior peace and strength. I'll give you two examples. This past week, I talked to two people who are about to die. They both have stage 4 terminal cancer. One has about a week left, she said, to live. And the other person, the doctor said, well, maybe about 6 months, okay? Now, when I was talking to these people, it was really such a joyful conversation. They have a great love for life, but they're excited. We talk, as a matter of fact, the next door they're about to go to, which will be into eternity. These are people who have the faith. You know, they pray the rosary. Holy Mary, Mother God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. They know Mary's going to be there at their last hour. I said, have you gone to confession? Yes. A good sacramental confession. Have you forgiven all those who've hurt you? Yes. Have you asked God to heal those, the people you've hurt? Yes. And so the sacraments, have received the anointing of the sick. And we're just talking. It's a really beautiful conversation about the faith. And one lady, I didn't ask her age, but I guess somewhere around the late 50s, she said her and her husband were evangelical. But in 2002, they came to discover the fullness of Christ in the Catholic Church. So 2002, they became Catholic. And they said, Father, we've totally given ourselves over to the life of faith in everything that we do and how we live and everything. Now, she said in 2002, I took the confirmation saying Saint Therese. You know the little flower? And I said, that's providential. Because she went on her conversation, she said, Shortly after I was received in the church, I met this priest. He was in his early 60s, and he was weary. That's the word she used, weary, tired. And he said, you know, he was thinking about leaving the priesthood. So she said in her heart that day, Lord Jesus, I'm going to pray in a special way for a weary priest. She didn't make the connection at that time, but later that day, she says she started having difficulty with her breathing. She ended up going to a doctor, and she had some kind of form of cancer, and they did some kind of surgery because she said some of that somehow got into the blood. So right now she's got several spots on her lungs, 3 spots on her liver, and things like that. And the doctor says as she's progressed, it will get more painful. And she said, as she told me that, I said, do you realize what's going on there? St. Therese is your confirmation saint. It wasn't by accident. You did not pick her. A lot of people have that impression, they're confirmed. That saint God assigned to watch over and protect you, to intercede for you in a special way. The books that came into your possession, the videos you saw for you to choose that particular saint. And I said, did you realize, and she didn't, that St. Therese, when she entered the Carmelite monastery, she said, I'm entering to pray for a priest. And I also added, do you realize that her very last Holy Communion, I told her, that St. Therese offered up for a priest who had left the priesthood. So I said, in a special way, God in His providence has you and St. Therese together. So continue praying for us priests. I told her to put my name on that list too. Continue praying for priests. I said, you will be doing that in eternity. But it was such a wonderful conversation. It was not a fear of death, a longing to see the Lord. She loves life. But she realized it's okay. She said, Father, too, I have a special devotion to the English martyrs. There's so many of them that were being persecuted, the priests and everything. She said, so I feel like I'm united with them spiritually. This other person, too, I was speaking to, who has about a week left to live, too, she says, so focused on heaven. Again, these are people who love life, and there's a joy in their heart. It was beautiful. But the point is, they have the faith, and it gives them a firm foundation, a peace, and a courage to deal with what life gives them. How we know if we really have a deep faith is when trials and difficulties are thrown our way. How do we deal with them? That's where we separate the men from the boys. If you have the faith, okay. Because we realize we're not doing it alone, we're doing it with Christ. You know, Pope Benedict XVI, with all popes, they have a great responsibility. They have the weight of the church on their shoulders, but they realize that they're not doing it alone, that they're doing it with the power of the Holy Spirit and with Jesus Christ. In a few moments, we're going to come up to the communion rail, and we're going to receive our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in Holy Communion. It comes to be like in the center of our being. Ask Him, beg Him, Lord, I want to be planted firmly and deeply in You, be totally entranced by You. I just shared this with someone a little while ago. John 17, listen to this. John chapter 17. Our Lord says this, verse 23. That God loves you as He loves me, Jesus says. Think about that statement. God loves you as He loved His Son, Jesus. The depth of that statement of our Lord is like, whoa. So we are all greatly loved by God. He wants us to live in that love. It does require suffering. It does require times we'll have to defend the faith. But it requires that we, you know, revolve our lives around the Eucharist, that we frequent the sacraments. So these people, no fear of death. They've gone to confession. There's no filth. There's no mortal sin in their souls. They've been freed of that. So let's always prepare and have Christ as our firm foundation. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.